RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo invites Singapore to invest in the digital economy sector. In its 72nd year anniversary, RRI to improve its support to Indonesia. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo invited Singaporean investor to invest in Indonesia in two emerging sectors, the digital economy and tourism. Currently, of the 13 largest companies in the world, 8 companies are the ones in the technology field. It is clearly a historic opportunity in today's digital revolution. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo as a keynote speaker at the Indonesia-Singapore Business Forum in Marina Bay Cruise Center in Singapore on Thursday. He views that Indonesia is currently enjoying a growing industry commerce and the development of digital startup companies with a total value of about $1 billion. With the magnitude of Indonesia's domestic market, the companies will still emerge in the next few years. Meanwhile, in tourism, the president said that the sector is an opportunity shared by both countries due to an increase of the number of middle class from China, India, and parts of Asia-Pacific. Public radio broadcaster Radio Republik of Indonesia, RRI, will be 72 years old on September 11, 2017. Director of RRI, M. Rohanuddin, said that at the age of 72 years old, RRI has a goal to build a larger listener. He views that with a large number of listeners, the message delivered by RRI will be more conveyed to the wider community. Rohanuddin has also affirmed to Voice of Indonesia recently that as a public broadcaster, RRI is a neutral and independent broadcasting institution that must have a partisanship to the state. He emphasized that the state's partisanship is not a partisanship to the regime, but rather a partiality to the people and state institution in an effort to improve the nation's positive image. In an effort to improve the alignment of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, on September 11, 2017, RRI will launch 5 stations on the border.
Setahun ini telah membangun 5 stasiun yang rata-rata berada di perbatasan.
This year, RRI has built 5 stations averagely located on the border. One of them is Rote Station. The president also asked us to build RRI in Miangas, build RRI in Bima, in Sumba, Belitung, and so on, which will be inaugurated soon. It is a representation of Radio Republik Indonesia's partisanship to the state. M. Rohanuddin further explained RRI has represented Indonesia through the presence of stations in 4 points of the outer Indonesia in Sabang, Merauke, Miangas, and Rote. These 4 points are the entrance to the border areas and politically important areas. Rohanuddin also said, to achieve the goal of building a larger public, RRI has conducted various media convergence strategies such as using RRI Play and RRI Net application. On the anniversary of RRI's birthday, Rohanuddin hopes that RRI will advance and follow the growing trend of technology and programs in the world. Public radio broadcaster Radio Republik of Indonesia, or RRI, will be 72 years old on September 11, 2017, Radio Director of the Republic of Indonesia, M. Rohanuddin, said on the anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia's Tri Prasetya Gallery located at RRI Jakarta will be inaugurated. Rohanuddin to Voice of Indonesia recently explained, Tri Prasetya Gallery contains historic photos showing the trip Radio Republik Indonesia. According to him, Tri Prasetya Gallery will be a representation of RRI's partisanship towards the state in the time span of the struggle of the Republic of Indonesia to post academy.
Tanggal 11 September nanti akan diresmikan apa galeri Tri Prasetya di bawah itu adalah pusat kesejarahan.
On September 11, the Tri Prasetya Gallery will be inaugurated. It is the historical center of the radio. People who enter RRI's Jakarta's building will see how the history of radio, RRI involvement in the struggle, RRI involvement in national development when Suharto became president, until RRI's involvement in the era of democratization of this reform. I think this is very important. Rohanuddin further explained RRI will gradually increase the collection at Tri Prasetya Gallery. In the Radio Day commemorative series, RRI also organizes the National and Asian Radio Star Selections, Custom Ethnic Run, and Tri Prasetya Torching Ceremony. The ignitions of Tri Prasetya Torch will be attended by the winners of quiz held for a listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. The listeners are Dietmar Wolf from Germany, Aurora Kopliku from Albania, and Ziad Salim Al-Akil from Jordan. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Director General of Capture Fisheries at Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fishery will provide 7,255 environmentally friendly fishing tools for 9 provinces in Indonesia. The distribution will begin in the second week of September 2017 and planned to be finalized by the end of November this year. Director of Fishing, Vessels and Fishing Equipment of the Ministry, Agus Suherman, said at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday that the distribution of fishing tools will be given to fishermen with the weight of the ship under 10 gross ton. During the distribution of fishing tools, the government will require the fishermen to collect their environmentally unfriendly fishing tools.
Kita ganti alat tangkapnya sesuai dengan keinginan dan kebutuhan dari nelayan.
We will change their fishing tools according to their wishes and needs, so the fishermen that previously used environmentally unfriendly fishing tools such as dogol, arat, or even cantrang will be changed with fishing gears they want.
The fishing tools that will be distributed to the fishermen include handline, tremel net, and gill net oceanic. Agus Suherman further said that the fishing tool procurement is conducted through electronic catalog and auction process. The Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries had earlier received 10,584 aid proposals for environmentally friendly fishing tools. However, after verification, only 7,255 fishermen will receive the aid. Vice Chairman of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives DPR, Mutia Hafid, appreciated the Voice of Indonesia broadcasts that are considered to contribute to the efforts of Indonesian diplomacy in the world. This was stated on the sidelines of the Voice of Indonesia's International Quiz 2017 winners visit to the Parliament Building in Jakarta recently.
The most important thing is our appreciation to the Voice of Indonesia, which has made not only ordinary broadcast programs, but also programs that can actually help Indonesia's diplomacy and also help introduce Indonesia to the world.
In addition, Mutia also expressed his admiration for the quiz winners who visited Parliament Building in Jakarta. According to her, she has seen the winner's great love to Indonesia and its culture. The Minister of Public Work and Housing has budgeted 106.9 trillion rupiah for infrastructure development in 2018. In the working meeting of the Ministry of Public Works and Housing with the Commission of 5 of the House of Representatives DPR in Jakarta on Thursday, Minister of Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that the amount had increased by 500 billion rupiah from the previous year, which reached 106.4 trillion rupiah. He also explained that the allocation of funds will be allocated for road maintenance program, construction of new bridges, toll road development, improvement of water resources sector, and public housing development.
Preservasi jalan, pemeliharaan jalan, 46.400 kilometer.
There are 46,400 kilometers of road preservation, 9,292 meters of new bridges development, 1,000 meters of flyover, underpass and tunnels development, and 25 kilometers of toll roads. Those become the government's responsibility in the state budget. The Indonesian government allocated an overall infrastructure budget amounting up to 409 trillion rupiah in 2018. The budget is contained in the draft of State Revenue and Expenditure Budget 2018. The allocation includes the Ministry of Public Work and Housing and the Ministry of Transportation. In addition to housing construction, the Infrastructure Fund will also be used for the construction of transportation as well as information and telecommunication sectors. The administration of Palembang City, South Sumatra is promoting river tourism to make it an attractive destination during the 18 Asian Games in 2018. Palembang Mayor Harno Joyo affirmed in Palembang on Thursday that some of the river tourism sites are Al Munawar Village, Capitan Village, and Kemaro Island. The Musi River Pier, located next to Al Munawar Mosque, has been renovated. The South Sumatra administration has informed the people living in the villages to develop a religious tourist sites in those areas that have vibrant Islamic environment and distinctive cultures. The village, which accommodates 75 families comprising 250 inhabitants, has been cleaned recently. Meanwhile, the head of Palembang City Tourism Office, Isnaini Madani, noted that Palembang has tremendous tourism potential because it is one of the oldest cities in Indonesia and had various types of attraction such as culinary, history, and nature. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawat.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia and Burma must maintain good relationship and cooperation. This year between Indonesia and Singapore is 50 years old. As two neighbors sharing the same border, the diplomatic relations are dynamic. The next step of the relationship is for the year relationship of the two. Intense of import investment to Indonesia continues to increase. Data showed last year that the country's total investment increased 55% to more than 122. Viewed from the less positive world economic condition, increase in Singapore investment was a remarkable change. From a political point of view, the relationship between the two neighboring countries is relatively good. Being different from Malaysia, Indonesian relations with Singapore can be said safe and comfortable. Singapore is a small country but having much better economy. The relation between the two countries is not disrupted by issues such as the one occurring in the Philippines. This condition has contributed to the political stability in ASEAN region. The traffic flow at both countries' boundary also has gone unwelled. Every weekend, a lot of Singaporeans cross to Batam, Rio Province, and through Batam, some Indians also visit Singapore. From tourism sector, the cooperation should be much improved. The improvement is not only in form of increasing the number of Singapore tourists who come to Indonesia, but also in the form of a reciprocal tourism cooperation visit a joint tourist destination. The number of foreign tourists who visited Singapore is quite a lot. Through the cooperation of tourist destinations, Singapore can more actively participate in promoting to the tourists which the country increase the length of their visit to Indonesia, not only to Batam but also to other places such as Borobudur, a number of tourism destinations in Sumatra and East Nusa Tenggara. However, entering 50-year relationship between Indonesia and Singapore, both countries have to improve cooperation in various fields, especially defense and efforts to combat drug trafficking. The stability of security relationships is less vulnerable, so is the issue of narcotics circulation crossing the two countries' border. Listener, that was a commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. We meet again in our regular history, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past. We start with the event on September 8, 1991, when the Republic of Macedonia was proclaimed. The Republic of Macedonia, which was independent on September 8, 1991, is a country located on the Balkan Peninsula, southern Europe. The country is bordered by Serbia and Kosovo to the north, Albania to the west, Greece to the south, and Bulgaria to the east. The country is called as the Republic of Macedonia, former Yugoslavia, by the United Nations in 1993. The Republic of Macedonia has 506,926 inhabitants in 2004, and there were several smaller cities such as Bitola, Kumanovo, Prilep, Tetovo, Ohrid, Veles, Kostivar, and Strumica. Macedonia is a member of the United Nations and the Council of Europe, as well as a member of the World Trade Organization, WTO. The next event was in 2004, when Andi Muhammad Yusuf Amir passed away. Andi Muhammad Yusuf Amir was born in Kajuara, Bone South, on 23rd of June, 1928, and passed away in Makassar, South Sulawesi, Indonesia, on September 8, 2004, at the age of 76 years. Andi, who was more commonly known as M. Yusuf, was an Indonesian military general. M. Yusuf is a national figure who has major services in development in South Sulawesi and in Indonesia. He is also a warrior that is decisive, honest, clean, and bold. Indonesian nation truly lost one of the best sons and role models who continued to devote himself to the nation until his death. The last event is about International Literacy Day. September 8th was proclaimed as International Literacy Day by UNESCO on November 17, 1965. Its aim is to highlight the importance of literacy to individuals, communities, and societies. On International Literacy Day each year, UNESCO reminds the international community of the status of literacy and adult learning globally. Celebrations take place around the world. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. Today we'll talk about overcoming humanitarian crisis in Rohingya. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi met with Myanmar State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi on Monday, September 4, 2017, to end the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine State. During the meeting, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi presented the Formula 4 plus 1 initiative for Rakhine State to Myanmar's leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Retno Marsudi, in a release on Monday, said she visited Myanmar to bring the trust of Indonesian people who are very concerned about the humanitarian crisis in Rakhine State. She also brought the international vote for the humanitarian crisis at Rakhine State to be resolved. The four elements are, among others, restoring stability and security, keep restraint optimally to not conduct violence, protection to all those in the Rakhine State, regardless of race and religion, as well as the importance of immediate access to humanitarian aid. Minister Retno Marsudi explained, the first four elements are elements that must be done so that the crisis of humanity and security is not getting worse. Meanwhile, another important element is the recommendations of the Advisory Commission report to Rakhine State, led by former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, will be immediately implemented. Retno Marsudi also expressed concern and high commitment of Indonesia's humanitarian NGO to Myanmar. The minister explained that the Indonesian Foreign Ministry has just launched the Indonesian Humanitarian Alliance of Indonesia for Myanmar on August 31, 2017. She expects the government of Myanmar to continue granting access because the alliance has been in cooperation with the Indonesian government to implement several programs. During her visit to Myanmar, Retno Marsudi also met three other ministers of Myanmar. The meeting with the three ministers discussed the technical issue of the humanitarian aid mechanism to be implemented by Myanmarese government. She affirmed that the mission to Myanmar has reached at least two things. Firstly, to convey the great attention of the Indonesian people to the humanitarian situation in Rakhine State. And secondly, the commitment of Myanmar authorities to immediately overcome the humanitarian crisis. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also visited Bangladesh and held a meeting with Bangladeshi Foreign Minister Mahmud Ali to discuss Indonesia's humanitarian aid plan for refugees from Rakhine State in Bangladesh. It was said that the Indonesian government is seeking to address the humanitarian problems in Rakhine State comprehensively, ranging from upstream in Myanmar up to the downstream in Bangladesh. According to Minister Retno, the government of Bangladesh gave a positive response and appreciated the assistance of Indonesia. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Ulama Council supported the Indonesian government's steps to resolve the Rohingya conflict. Chairman of the International Relations Commission of the Indonesian Ulama Council, Muhyiddin Junaidi, said the MUI support the diplomacy carried out by the Minister Retno Marsudi, who visiting Myanmar and met the top Myanmar officials including Aung San Suu Kyi, Security Advisor, and Myanmar Defense Minister. The MUI also called on Myanmar to seriously address the violence that most of its victims are Muslim. In addition, Myanmar also must open access to humanitarian aid that will be distributed to all people without discrimination. That was today's focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo invited Singaporean investors to invest in Indonesia in two emerging sectors, the digital economy and tourism. The administration of Palembang City, South Sumatra is promoting river tourism to make it an attractive destination during the 18 Asian Games in 2018. Listener, that was news in brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to Aceh. Stay tuned. North Aceh is one of the regencies in Aceh province. This regency is known as an advanced industrial area and has various natural resources such as gas and crude oil. Therefore, no wonder if there are factories in the region. Although surrounded by industrial plants, North Aceh has a natural beauty of beach, namely Ujung Blang Beach. The beach is considered a small paradise of North Aceh. Ujung Blang becomes a major tourism destination in North Aceh. The beach offers the beauty of sunrise and sunset. Ujung Blang Beach is located in four villages, namely Ujung Blang Village, Uli Jalan Village, Northwest Hagu Village, and Tengah Village, Banda Sakti Sub-District, North Aceh Regency. If you come from Banda Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province, you will take 5 to 6 hours. Arriving in downtown of North Aceh to Ujung Blang, you can continue the journey by using the city transportation or labi-labi and motor pedicab or bentor. When entering the beach area, you are required to pay entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah. Listener, the name of the beach has its own meaning. Ujung means the tip and Blang means rice field or garden. Formerly, the area around the beach are filled with rice field and swamp areas. Arriving in Ujung Blang Beach location, you will be greeted with a vast expanse of sand, which is brownish with a very soft texture. You can run freely on the soft sand or just sitting on the beautiful beach. Ujung Blang Beach has a big wave. You can still enjoy the freshness of the water by swimming, but you must be careful. The perfect time to feel the freshness of seawater on the beach, usually in late afternoon, when the air begins to cool. In addition to swimming, you can rent a banana boat to play water or rent a fishing boat to go around the beach. Listener, the main attraction of Ujung Blang Beach is the beauty of sunset and sunrise. So if traveling to the beach, do not miss the beautiful of sunset and sunrise. The beach has been equipped with adequate facilities such as public toilets, musola, lodges along the beach to take rest and restaurants. Enjoying the variety of culinaries which serve on the beach, do not forget to try rujak Ujung Blang, a special and typical Ujung Blang Beach culinary. Unlike rujak in general, which use palm sugar, rujak Ujung Blang uses sweets. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Ujung Blang Beach from Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. Listener, many things have been done by Indonesian government to attract domestic and foreign tourists. In today's edition, we will inform you about an event called Tanjung Lesung Charm Festival 2017. Situated on the western part of Java Island, across the volcanic island of Krakatau on Sunda Strait, Tanjung Lesung in Banten will be crowded through the Tanjung Lesung Charm Festival 2017 on September 24th. Carrying the theme Sport and Adventure Tourism, the festival is aimed to introduce Tanjung Lesung as marine tourism that is close from Jakarta. This event also promotes Tanjung Lesung as one of the 10 priority destinations that becomes New Bali. On the launching of the festival last Tuesday, September 5th, Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said that the festival can strengthen 3A elements, which is attraction, amenity, and accessibility. Tanjung Lesung is also part of the special economic zone set by the government. Minister Arief Yahya also said that sport and adventure that is used in this year's theme will perform the best event, such as Rhino X Triathlon, MTB XC Race, an international bubble gig that has high value to attract tourists. Ujung Kulon National Park is one of Tanjung Lesung tourism objects that becomes the habitat of an endangered species, one-horned rhino. This event will also have kolecer competitions and bubble gig or scarecrow. Listener, as the peak of the event, the International Cross Triathlon, or popularly known as Rhino X Triathlon, for the first time will be held in Indonesia. The triathlon is a little bit different because the track for running and cycling is held in Passing Through the Woods. Music. Director of the Rhino X Triathlon event, Tensei Manalu, said that his site targets 300 participants for personal and team relay divided into three groups of age. The open group, from the age of 20 to 39, master is over 40 years old, and youth group is around 13 until 19 years old. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Tanjung Lesung Charm Festival 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 9525 kHz, live streaming of English.rriworldservice.com, or our mobile application, RRI Play, through and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida.
Thank you.
listener, Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S, and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired, but it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer, and she sang a lot of Nano S songs, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetikus Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Listener, just like the title, the song composed by Nano S described everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meida through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetty Koes Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetty Koes Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese-speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetty Koes Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetty Koes Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
Tiba helah matukah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.